Happy holidays. It's Monday afternoon on a shortened holiday week. I'm looking forward to a little break on Thursday, Friday. Hopefully you are too. Lots going on this morning, obviously, in markets regarding the VIX explosion, 30%, and a nice rug pull, if you will, that basically makes the bulls revisit their complacency theory. However, the dip is getting bought right now. My volatility reading went into yellow alert 4 days ago, and I warned both to clients and did a public service announcement on Twitter as well that it had gone from, you know, green to red, which means that we're going to get some volatility event. Didn't know when or what the cause, but it happened over the weekend. We have obviously thin trading this week. We definitely have a lot of, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news type of event with the stimulus. $900 billion is not what's really needed or expected, hoped for, what have you, disappointment, vaccine mutations, not to mention lots of, you know, drama on the actual numbers of, you know, case explosion for COVID, as well as the mutations and whether or not the vaccine will help repair that, protect against that. So lots of reasons. Positioning, if you will, in you know, news flow is very important to sentiment. And right now, that volatility helped to reprice a lot of stuff, including commodities. And we're going to talk about that. I have looked at a few areas that I wanted to kind of share with you today, from oil to platinum and palladium, especially given recent move in the electric vehicle segment. And I'm just going to kind of talk about that. So share some charts, mostly, you know, share some thoughts and positioning, specific plays that I've recommended, and how I'm looking at it moving forward as we go into this chop end of year. And first and foremost, for those who don't know who I am, my name is Samantha LeDuc. I am founder of LeDucTrading.com, and that is my website. This is. So I do have a YouTube channel, and I definitely recommend signing up for it, as I am not only posting the guest captain interviews that I do with partners, option market structure, Jonathan Gibbons, as well as my oil trading friend, Robert McMinn, who only works for private clients and can't be found elsewhere. So he's really, really a gem when it comes to that particular commodity, because that's all he trades. So I'll share some of his insights a little bit, and mine, since we have this interview series, because we have a way of looking at the same market very differently, but come to the same very similar timing conclusions as it relates to trading. So we'll talk about that. But this is my website, which is where I provide a particular blend of macro to micro analysis, education, and brokerage triggered trade alerts. So that's where you can find me. Also on Twitter, at Samantha LeDuc. And I believe you can also kind of imagine that my YouTube channel is LeDuc Trading right here. And then I also have an institutional offering, which is LeDuc Trading Edge. So retail, institutional, and then you know where to find me if you're looking for stuff. Again, I thank you for coming into this particular talk. So getting back to a little bit of how I approach the markets, I trade for a living. I support clients who do the same. And I want to kind of emphasize that this is for folks that can kind of, I'm providing my analysis and they're bundling it up however they feel. It could be on a short duration or a trend trade. Some of the stuff that I want to talk about is kind of a mix of the two, since I trade on three different time frames, what I call a chase, a swing, and a trend time frame. So I have positioning always going on in each of these portfolio books, and I make them available. I am very much known for anticipating volatility. That's my thing. And so hence, you can kind of see right away, I had a warning 4 days ago, December 16th, that my VIX indicator, I have a risk on, risk off indicator, was flashing yellow, and boom, it, you know, we exploded higher this morning. So that is going to actually be a standalone product offered on a partner site called VigTech.io, and that's going to be under $50 a month, and it will literally, has nothing to do with my trading service, which is, you know, live trading rooms and trade alerts and all that jazz. It is literally an indicator that will alert you when we are going to have some funny business, meaning volatility. So when, if you go to my website and sign up for free bait, we'll alert you when that's made available. available, but right now it is in beta. So the plan is first of the year. Huge benefit of this standalone product. I can't emphasize enough, and totally separate from my trading service. All right. So I've kind of shared with you who I am, who I serve, how I trade, and my backdrop of this kind of macro to micro means I look at economics, fundamentals, technical, intermarket, sentiment, and even quant. Quant is that large option flow that institutions primarily are positioned and need to defend against, and kind of anticipating their moves. Also whale activity, like the SoftBanks of the world. And then the cumulative volume or follow-on or, you know, tack-on type of trading that the Robinhooders or the retail traders, when they, you know, go all in on a particular ticker, you can see it. I talked about this in an options class just a few weeks ago, and it's really, I hope, explained there, where you can see the call buying, you know, building in the Teslas, the Neo, the Planetaires of the world, the Neo, in all those. So I definitely wanted to focus on commodities this time, and I have a few that are kind of this mix of open interest as far as institutional flow, very different from option activity. All right, so we're going to address that. The fundamentals behind it, there are, you know, strong macro and fundamental moves behind palladium, platinum, uranium. They're totally separate, but my point is there are some very strong underlying reasons why those commodities can have outsized moves over a period of years versus just, you know, short duration type of spikes and fades, for example, in the oil. And then technically how to spy them, how to enter and exit, and then where I see when it's going to have an inflection change. So case in point, for example, oil. A little while ago, hold on, let me get to it. I had been talking with my trading buddy, Robert McMinn. He is not on Twitter, but nonetheless, he runs a consulting firm and provides his analysis to hedge funds mostly. He was on my show, and this was what he warned: geopolitical risk premium on oil is very cheap. And he and I had been discussing how my intermarket analysis, which for a lot of people, this is going to look really, really, really noisy, but this is how I do some of what I do, and so I'm explaining it to you, how at certain times this particular shaded area represented a higher oil thesis. And this is how I have basically helped to identify staying with an oil long or short. So for example, that was a short, then it triggered long. It went into a really big chop area, and then it triggered short. This was actually on the Saudi Arabia hit, where oil popped up very high and then continued down into a negative print. Remember the infamous April print where crude dropped literally 300% overnight, and it went negative $40. Okay. Well, at the same time it came out of that, not a surprise, it had triggered long again, which I know sounds very counterintuitive to what was happening with COVID, meaning that intense demand destruction with coronavirus and lockdowns. And we're in it again, right? Phase one, phase two, phase three, whatever. But the point is how to stay with a trade when you have this backdrop, you know, going on, which is clearly, you know, there's too much supply, it needs to be absorbed. There's not enough open interest. In other words, people are staying out of it because they just got hurt badly with a negative oil print. And then you have COVID demand destruction. They're driving less, flying less, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, this was triggering long. So it stabilized a little bit, but then it still was starting to percolate higher again. So Robert and I were basically, you know, talking on, you know, in DM and on the phone. And I said, I know it doesn't make any sense, but my intermarket, this is, by the way, back in, you know, November, is absolutely triggering long again. Like, okay, what do you got? And we came to the same conclusion that XOM, for example, which is the largest integrated, and obviously the biggest, was in a place where it also looked fabulous as a long above 3270. So I trade small size, like literally 1-3% of available equity. Robert trades only oil, so he is a little bit heavier handed. But the point is, we came to the same place at the same time through his approach and mine. I interviewed about it, made it publicly available. And my recommendation to clients was above this 3270 is bullish. It rose and he was absolutely there as well. Again, different reasons. And again, this was the same type of thing where it was intonating higher oil. Long story short, XOM up until this morning was up 40% from that long recommendation. That was a very good trade. Not just in Exxon, but also in oil. It went all the way up literally right here. And now it stopped. Literally, this was on my Friday tag. I have this in my Slack channel for clients. Real quick, let me just grab that. Sorry, I didn't have this beforehand. Come on. There it is. So I had put this in for clients that we were coming up to this particular tag, this oil trade higher. See the purple? Okay, we were coming up into that resistance level. We were almost there. That was December 12th. And then I did it again on Friday. We tagged it. And then you know what happened over the weekend. It was immediately rejected. And today we have, and that's again, intermarket analysis. So that's why I'm showing it to you, because there are lots of different ways to get to a conviction, if you will. And that's one way that I do it, is through intermarket analysis. And the other way is checking with experts like Robert, who are very heavily concentrated in that particular trade. But here it is on Friday. Check this out. So I had just taken this on the 18th, not knowing what was going to happen over the weekend. And boom, we tagged this ratio and pulled back. Not just that, but also the dollar came into an area of support around this 89.90 area. At the same time, DBC is commodities, by the way, was coming up into a trend line. So interesting how they both tagged at the same time. And XLE, again, relative to SPY, was coming up into two levels of resistance and starting to look like a rollover. And we have this pullback, not only in the integrated and refiners and all the other oil and gas components, as you can see, obviously we came back in. You can see it across OIH, XLE, XOP, XES, all the big ETFs. But they have come right back down into a level of support, right? So is this going to be consolidation, move higher, or a rollover? So that's the kind of work that I'm doing to help clients stay on the right side of the trade, whether it's going to move in a particular direction, need some confirmation, or it's coming up into resistance. Now it's time to tighten stops or close or, you know, put some protection on, selling calls, buying puts, what have you. But that's how I am dealing with the these types of very important trades that we see all the time, especially, for example, in oil and gas, because it also contributes to the sentiment. And in the market, obviously, it's very helpful when, you know, oil is rising. It helps the market move higher. So we have these types of great setups here. And that was something I can kind of show with intermarket, how that proved itself. We still have some potential for risk premium into a volatility event in oil. This morning, they sent off a U.S. Nuclear missile sub. Yes, and that's news, right? So that was something that was not welcomed news, but that is the type of risk premium, geopolitical risk premium, that Robert was talking about back in November. So that news this morning, yep, U.S. Navy confirmed nuclear submarine Georgia entered the Persian Gulf. So that elevates, if you will, the potential risk of oil moving higher. At the same time, we have COVID and the mutations of COVID creating that demand pressure lower, and the reopening risks to this rally that we've had of late, especially with the dollar bouncing, is in play right now, and we can see it and feel it. Now, I think we're going to digest a little bit, not necessarily completely fall apart, but even today they're talking about, readying for, you know, the risk of lower interest rates, and that would bring this whole commodity play down, because that search for yield, if you will, higher yields is going to be under pressure. So that is one area where I think the analysis on oil is helpful. And let me just my intermarket, this is kind of an example. Before this rolled over, crude was higher, and yet XLE was rolling over. And now what happened over the weekend? Boom, it got hit. So this is a chart from Robert, which is very much looking at crude speculative positioning. This is managed money, and it is fading a little bit. You can see from this September, October, November, December, you know, we need this to increase. Managed money is the largest spec grouping for the non-commercial category in the Commitment of Traders report. So it's really tough to look and say, okay, they're not really expecting any political risk, or they are. It's neutral right now. For the most part, there's some tail risk involved, higher and lower. So long story short, Robert, who is a purist, he has tail risk option calls and puts. Never know what's going to happen with the price of oil if we have some conflict. However, never trust, if you will, the reopening thesis and the cyclical rotation if we have real explosion of this vaccine rainbow illusion blow up. So we can actually fall over, or we can jump the shark and move higher in an oil type of scenario. So just as an example, this is pretty much what the oil forecast right now has been. It's been a lovely long into this resistance level. Exxon was a 40% move off the bottom before Goldman Sachs and said it's a buy. Now we have to look and see what's happening in the Persian Gulf for sure. So my read moving forward is that oil is now at resistance, is being absolutely, the bulls are being tested. Goldman came in late, no question. We digest here before reversing lower, or we jump the shark on some geopolitical risk. Any questions on that? Money is definitely flowing into the electric vehicle players. I call them the EV players. Let me just show you that list. It's a cute little name. But basically, this is a list of 48 of the stocks associated with electric vehicles, from charging stations to what have you. And there's no question that this is very, very much bid up also on the Biden rally, and the fact that just on Friday, there was a comment that Biden wants to see 500,000 EV charging stations. So there are lots of plays for chasing this, swing trading this whole concept, obviously beyond just Tesla. But the point is that this money has flown from the very oversold, left for dead, if you will, cyclical play of energy into the electric vehicle, very hip, you know, exciting, Tesla-esque types plays, and the startups as well that are the SPACs. So they've definitely maintained a lot of the option flow. I'm talking about the individual, you know, this type of thing. See, option flow right here is boom. In NIO, for example, this is just today's contracts that are being added, just today's, not open interest, just being added today. This is the type of large call buying, and mostly, as you can see, chasing, because they're this, you know, next week, next few weeks, that are helping for the market makers to kind of hedge, and that brings the individual stock play higher. So these are definitely plays when you are kind of looking for something at rotation out of the oil and gas plays. They kind of go back and forth, right? There's a bull market somewhere always. So right now the EV plays are attracting the flow, speculative buildup in option flow and IPO excitement, etc. So it's one reason that I contribute to low interest in the oil trade. Now, we're not talking this oversold bounce that we just had, a tremendous move in oil and the oil and gas plays. They also have some pretty high yields, like Oxy has a 12% trailing dividend yield, which was also a really nice play until it hit some resistance levels. This happens to be a 50 week, and it reversed very strongly, and now it's testing, right? So this is a big move that's now being tested. Those were nice reflation trades, cyclical moves, growth to value, and that whole theme is not, I don't think it's done, but I think it's absolutely time for it to be tested. I think that's probably my point. So no way do we really have lots of money positioning in oil and gas for open interest. We definitely have lots more of the speculative stuff still chasing the EV plays. And a lot of this might change when we come up to the June 5th Georgia runoff. So why? Why would that matter? Politically speaking, you know, politics drive the economy. And the focus right now with the Biden administration definitely supporting migration to electric vehicles has helped, you know, stimulate this whole segment, but it's not done. It's not as easily done unless they can get both sides of the political aisle. And we have the runoff election that's happening in Georgia on June 5th, which will basically decide whether Dems have what's called a blue wave. And the blue wave would give them the power to push through a lot of potentially spending and infrastructure bills, et cetera, et cetera. So I won't even get into MMT, modern monetary theory, or, you know, United Basic Income and all those types of benefits. I'm just talking about actual policies that are more likely to get pushed through that would benefit certain sectors, of which EV is definitely one of them. All right. So another one that has been on my mind, and let me just answer your question real quick. So sorry. Hey, Michael. Yeah, I love it. So for me, I can do a lot of things in this besides just, you know, create lots of watch lists and track them, which, you know, is really helpful. But I can also do my own indicators and scans in TC2000. I know I'm going completely off the presentation, but yeah, I think this is definitely a very useful charting software. I do not use it for options, however. I have an account at Schwab and TD and mostly IB. So my client stuff is all with interactive brokers, but TC is, yeah, it's pretty good. I like it a lot. All right. So going on to the next area that for me is interesting anyway, is how, what's related in this world of electric vehicle, right? Because we talked a little bit about the oil trade. I think we covered that one. And that would be palladium's power. Now, palladium, this was from a year ago. All right. I had recommended because of this chart. And by the way, this is just an update that I just put together for you. It's actually a big continuous contract look all the way back to the 1990s. I'm going to talk about palladium and platinum a little bit. So this is intermarket analysis again. I do lots of chase and swing trading, but this is a trend talk now as it relates to palladium, platinum, and then totally separately for different reasons, a little bit on uranium. So palladium, had been something I was considering because a year ago, back in October of 2019, I was looking at this chart that was looking like it had already confirmed a breakout. This is on a big picture, right? This is many years. So it had already confirmed it was moving higher. And then this was the level I was really excited about. So this was the level where it got up and above. And this is really where I want you to focus on this long trend line resistance level. Even though it had already triggered long in 2017, it hit, came back down and then broke above. So when it broke above, that's when I got excited. And literally this article is from October of 2019, the one that I've just referenced to you, with palladium's power. And there are a whole bunch of reasons why I was interested in this and wrote about it for clients. One, China to funnel lots of money towards its chip ambitions, and palladium was to be used in semiconductor innovations. That was interesting to me. Also, as smog got worse, especially in China, there was definitely a path for the potential to use palladium in smog, as well as chip innovation, as well as agriculture. So air pollution, tackling that problem, smog treatment. So you can see my point that fundamentally the ag business, you know, dealing with nitrates. So long story short, there was a lot of interest that I had anyway in this theme, technically because it had triggered, and then fundamentally because it made a lot of sense. Just as far as also catalytic converters, you know, the auto industry requires part of the exhaust system, have catalytic converters, and they use palladium to convert the toxins. So this is basically the underlying reason for being interested in this technical breakout. Does that make sense? Now let's fast forward to platinum. And this, I hope you really, I don't know if you trade platinum, because no, I'm not going to do platinum just yet. I want to go back to palladium, and here's why. Because there are some plays on it I want to talk about. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about palladium, and then I'm going to go into platinum a little bit, since I'm eager to get to platinum, because it's the value play right now relative to palladium. In other words, palladium has already had, right, this breakout. This was October 2019, and right here, like, boom, and it's already run. So I'm excited about platinum because it hasn't run so much yet. That's the one I want to talk about. But let me talk about why palladium, it was of interest now, even now, continuation now. palladium is still the cheaper substitute for platinum. Okay, so they use palladium over platinum until it gets too expensive, then they'll migrate over to platinum. So it's part of the same, you know, metals group, for sure. And they tend to be found together, and they're commercially, you know, produced as a nickel platinum byproduct, primarily in South Africa and Russia. So if you trade currencies and you're interested in these commodities, then you're also going to be interested in the the currencies of both South Africa and Russia because they're large exporters of those products. So there are big mines outside. Like my expertise in this, exactly where, no, I don't know. But in Ontario, I believe, in Montana. So this relationship, though, has been definitely beneficial. And that's why there's also a chart that a colleague, thank you very much, Sean, if you're listening, sent me, and I'm going to show that to you, which is the palladium platinum ratio chart, but we'll get to that. So they are together, right? Two peas in a pod in many regards, but the increase in price in palladium is what could cause a rotation into platinum. So we'll get to that a little bit more. But there's a lot of industrial demand, long story short, automotive, electronics. We'd already talked about smog, water, you know, purification systems. We have heard Tesla has a new product called palladium, but you know, what does that mean? And I'm not sure how it's related to their battery project. But we do know that in the automotive space, catalytic converters represent over 80% of that demand. So there's going to be a continued need for palladium. That's basically it in a nutshell. It's not going away. And it has increased, oh gosh, one number said 60%, you know, since 2010. So there is a cost to this. And obviously with EV, that is a demand issue. But for right now, EV only makes up 0.3% of the market share worldwide. So keep that in check. Combustion engines are not going away. I can't emphasize that enough. There's definitely going to be a migration and an increase in demand. And that's why we have EV plays right now popping up like daisies and hot fire flames. Those are two expressions I use because they're speculative in nature. But combustion engine is not going away. So that the need for palladium and catalytic converters, not going away. That. So we definitely have also heightened emission regulations, especially in China, right? So they were producing lots of smog from coal, and now they're migrating into purification systems, which require palladium. They also are definitely popping up with nuclear power plants to replace coal, right? That's a uranium play. But the point is, all of these kind of fundamental factors have helped underlie this move higher in palladium. It's kind of cool. And it doesn't look done, does it? However, it does look like it's softening right now. This little indicator down here is a little rollover while price is strong, but the trend is still very clearly up, especially when it broke out back in October of 2019 when I wrote about it first for clients. So platinum is a super catalyst. It is relatively, you know, strong the past, goodness, 10 years. You can see it for yourself and it will still maintain demand. This, however, has a gap price on platinum, which is its, you know, oversold value partner. And that's where I think there's going to be a better opportunity ahead, shifting to electric. So this is not done, but I think it's going to soften. And that's basically what this chart shows. And that's basically what my research shows. Lots and lots of next generation vehicle talk. Governments the world over are expanding to renewable energy, in particular hydrogen. Hydrogen is really this platinum and palladium play that isn't going away. All right, so we have a shift to electrification. Lithium is also a crucial piece. Copper is supplementary but important. We have palladium used in fuel cell vehicles, right? So again, that EV list, but it's not a significant role in a battery for electronic vehicles. So not to confuse. The goal right now that I have is just to show that there is future demand. It's solid. It might be softening right now with a potential shift into platinum, and I'll talk about that. But for the most part, I don't see this going away. And especially with pollution mitigation efforts and the fact that combustion vehicles are not going away, there's still going to be a need for palladium and hydrogen versus the EV plays of the world is definitely going to be on a lot of headlines, if you will. So supply demand kind of gave some general overview that it's strong. There isn't a deficit really. So there's not really that kind of trigger versus uranium where there's much more of a deficit. It has definitely had some very large moves in the past, as you can see from the early 1990s. And now it's clearly breaking out. I don't have a line here, but you can see where it's clearly breaking out, right? So supply is not a one issue as it relates to a deficit, it is just strong and continues. I think hedge funds really haven't paid so much attention to it. It's also hard to trade as a retail for the most part, which is why I have this as kind of an institutional suggestion, but I'm putting it out there because it's so related to EV. And we'll talk about some of the plays that retail can in fact use to express a palladium view. Okay. What was the other thing? Technically, yeah, we already showed you that as far as how this is moving very nicely and it's consolidating. Key players are ones that are quite small, but let's see if I can bring some of them up. So this is a small player, but you can see how that's been moving of late, NILSY. You can also see PDM, which is not at all what I was looking for. Vail, let's do that. There are some palladium-related resources, and this is one of them, related, not pure play by any stretch of the expression. There are a lot more in Canada, and I can't show you, unfortunately, on this platform, but there's one literally called Bull, B-U-L-L. It's Canadian Palladium Resources, okay? I don't have it, unfortunately, here on this TC2000. It's a pity, but it's really easy to remember, Bull. The other is, of course, I just mentioned, in part, Vail. Ivanhoe Mines is another one, IVPAF. This is platinum, but again, we're going to kind of get into that. That's platinum, Let's see what else. Oh yes, Silwater, a client told me they have that long, is another one. I don't think I'm gonna be able to bring this up on that platform. Ah, I do, SBSW, nice. Okay, so these are some plays that are related to platinum and palladium, and the chart still looks really good for technical support and trend. Not talking about the ins and outs of choppiness like we had this morning on a Monday. I'm talking about big picture, this looks great as a continuation trade for palladium. And right now the price is kind of consolidating in that $2,300, $2,400 an ounce play. And I am sticking with this theme, which is palladium's power from October 2019 to current palladium powers higher. So there's a theme on palladium. Talked a little bit about oil forecast that's already tagged and come back in. Now let's talk about platinum. So I like this one a lot because of this chart. But before I do that, I was really fortunate that Sean sent me over a chart of platinum and palladium, which is a ratio, okay? And it is extremely oversold, like wicked. I believe platinum, this is the time it's going to actually start moving higher. And there are here the key names. I was just going over a few of these, but this is the chart that I really, really like in platinum. So let's go over that a little bit. This is a bet on hydrogen, hydrogen fuel cell technology. As you can see, technically, I've been waiting actually for about a year. It popped up at the beginning and then it came back down and looked like it was intonating it'd go either way, higher or lower. It was just not a convincing bet. Again, this is big picture. This is from the 1990s. I'm showing you this, you know, for obvious reasons, because it's a trend reversal idea. And sure enough, it popped up of late and I've been waiting for this, like eagerly waiting for this. It tagged, it came back down, it tagged, it came back down, but it was a shallow pullback and then boom, this is just starting. It wouldn't surprise me if it comes back and tests this again, but otherwise this is a nice trend. So platinum, what's the deal with platinum? It is very much, I would think, kind of palladium getting expensive, platinum is cheap, rotation, light idea. It is definitely a bet on hydrogen taken over and the EV plays, which are related, and the world going into this very exciting segment. It's early. I know that sounds strange, but again, EV makes up 0.3% of the market share globally. There's lots of room for this to go. So this is the fuel cell bet. That's it. That's the fuel cell bet. There's lots of fundamentals around right now, you know, reaction to this space. For me, I got into it on this concept of palladium at some point would become expensive and platinum would pick up. And then I would look for this trend trend to trigger a breakout. And then I would be able to support it with a fundamental reason, which happens to coincide with these electric vehicle plays popping higher. So then the other week, literally, here's my hot list, right? So this is a list I put together, and I happened to put one together on 12-4, okay? What is the biggest mover since? PLG. What's PLG? Platinum Group Metal. So Platinum Group Metal, literally, I had been tracking this for obvious reasons. I like this space, and the EV players had already exploded. So this, I said, as soon as it gets and really gets through this resistance, I'll show you here. All right. So $250, $3, $298 was the trigger. This thing went from just hot fire flames, $250 to $650, practically, $627. And now it's come back, and it's actually a pretty nice pullback. Hasn't fallen apart at all. This is a weekly view. This is a day. This is an intraday. So I'm not talking about chasing this. Obviously, I'm talking about platinum as a trend reversal higher in the footsteps of palladium, which has already proven its breakout, and it's low bottom fishing, you know, for lack of a better word, bottom fishing play. I mean, this is just on a monthly, because nobody is interested in this. This is when I got interested in this, literally. And then it exploded higher, and it's up, you know, 78, 79% was up more, tagged 580, and it has come back in. But this is now a trend reversal. I think this will do well. On the daily, it's still above the 8-day. This is the 21. It wouldn't surprise me if it even came all the way down to the 21. But this is very much my idea for you if you're interested in any of this. I go over this stuff in my live trading room. I write about it. We have a live Slack channel. So I post my charts in my intermarket. This I've been going over for a while now. And PLG, I had just entered into the list on 12-4 because it looked like it was going to explode. And it did, from 287 to a high of almost, well, 627. So literally. All right, so I'm still watching PLG. That's not the only play, however, in platinum. And there, it's not, by the way, risk-free. So this is a low-float retail play. That's not necessarily where institutions are going to put their money, but I'm just letting you know some of the names that can be very, very helpful. This is Impala, right? No options here. Very, very low volume, but I'm letting you know. These are some plays. PPLT, this is an ETF, Bullion Proxy, and this is doing pretty well too. It's not as exciting as PLG, but it has a little bit more volume for sure than the last one I just showed you. Not by a whole bunch, but it's got potential. Other low volume, thinly traded plays would be this ANGPY. Has done nothing wrong. Look at this, gorgeous. And remember, platinum hasn't broken out, in my opinion. I mean, it has just broken out, hasn't taken off yet. PLG did, but as a group, platinum, the commodity, is only up like 4 or 5% in the last 2 weeks. PLG took off a ridiculous amount, but that shows me speculation is coming in. So I'm watching this as well as the underlying, okay? Here are some of the plays that are related to this whole underlying commodity sector of palladium, platinum. You've got Plug, right? This electric charging concept is just hot fire as a recent, you know, liftoff play. I can't even show you. It's so bloody big. And Richard says, this is definitely elevated. Fuel cell is another one. These are also related. Bloom, BLDP, all doing extremely well. Even, believe it or not, Cummins, PPS, I'm not sure that's really, I can't get that one. Nope. And small ones, PCRFY, I'm not going to get that as well. That's too little for me. But the ones that I like, obviously, I've mentioned within the EV play, BLDP, Bloom, that looks gorgeous. Fuel cell, I think and Plug, just look fabulous. So this is not like, how do I put this? Yeah, Toshiba also has a big component of it. But those are the four strongest looking, in my opinion. Platinum, palladium, ratio chart. It is at really strong, low levels. Looks like it's ready to pop higher. I think that rotation is just getting ready to explode. Not to mention the chart that I have mentioned. Sorry. Yeah, PLG, which I have already highlighted, has a lot of room that it can go. I mean, this puppy was 550 back in, you know, long, long time ago. And this particular continuous continuous contract layout of many, many years, to me, is a stronger indicator than even these retail surrogates. But it shows that there's money flowing into this space. The technical setup looks really good. Supply and demand, we have continued constraints on the supply. In other words, COVID is a real thing, right? They locked down the mines in South Africa, in other places in the world. So that contributed to this constraint. Lots of the newly mined platinum comes from South Africa, by the way. So it is an emerging market catalyst for those who like to play EM, which is emerging market. And as long as the dollar continues to stay weak, by the way, which it has, this will also support a bid in commodities. So you've got a weak dollar. Doesn't mean it can't bounce violently if we get a Bank of China interest rate cut. But for the most part, we have definitely had a soft dollar, and that has contributed to and helped the market stay higher, oil rise up from the lows, right? And commodities take off. The XME contingency has been obviously hot fire for some time, and it has overshot a lot of my targets. This 32 and a half area is where I think this gets digested and comes back down a little bit. But the point is, a soft dollar has supported commodities. No question, palladium and platinum have a demand function. As far as supply, there isn't really a deficit in palladium. And as far as in platinum, there is concern that a growing need for it will make folks pay attention to supply, like the lockdowns. But for the most part, this continued demand in hydrogen winning over is going to fuel the fuel cell revolution and the need for platinum. So the last area I want to talk about briefly before we close is, oh yeah, by the way, platinum is also key for catalytic converters. So the same, like I said, they're very related, okay? And it's definitely a tailwind as it relates to industrial use, but it might become more of an investment case. And that's what I wanted to kind of focus on, is this expansion of IPOs and SPACs, and the EV players themselves are going to potentially increase the application of these platinum plays of the plug and the BLDPs and such. So for example, one of this extremely elevated chart kind of look is in large part due to that sentiment, right? And money has flown here, period. It's been very, very strong. So what else is kind of moving? It would be uranium. I mean, this is just a talk on, speaking of supply demand. CCJ is a mine that a while ago had closed, just wasn't worth it. I mean, it had decided no longer to mine uranium, and it kind of fell, and since then has exploded higher with the case, like I had kind of highlighted before, fundamentally, that we have so little of it here that we have access to. It's mostly in Russia. We also have, China building more and more nuclear power plants to get away from coal. That's one reason. So CCJ and others, which are strong movers of late, and they have some resistance they need to get through, and they're in a downtrend, there's no question. But this is extremely, look at that gorgeous scoop in URA. That's the uranium ETF. These have been very, very strong of late and do not look done. They were recommended swing trades. Boom. It got, way beyond what I expected. And there are several within uranium. Energy fuels is another one. CCJ is probably better known. And there are a lot of names that are very small in Canada that I'm not going to mention for retail. They're more institutional. Kind of across that capital structure, if you will, there is a strong focus on the fact that there used to be globally, as my risk manager, Richard, is very focused on this space, and he is heavily invested in this space, mentioned that the number of uranium companies globally dwindled from 500 to 50 today. And this is the commodity that fuels nuclear power plants that electrify 20% of American homes and provide 10% of global electricity generation. So these are his words, not mine. I'm just emphasizing the point. ESG and carbon neutrality, along with the explosion of EVs, will only be further rocket fuel for a market that is already in a severe supply-demand deficit. China is building nuclear power plants as fast as they can, and nuclear generates zero carbon emissions. So for uranium, You have a good fundamental underpinning of how that is supported for palladium and platinum. Hopefully you have a better understand of how they're tied to this very exciting new world, if you will, of moving toward EV, but it's going to be a slow one. And honestly, combustion is not going away, in my humble opinion. And then you have some touch points on oil, both forecast as well as how we played recently, the very nice moves in bottom fishing, if you will, the Exxons and the oil trade higher. Let me know if you have any questions, but those are the four that I thought might be interesting to kind of share with you. Christmas gifts, if you will, because there's a lot of analysis that is not my own entirely. There are a combination of, for example, Richard, who has been in this space heavily for the past 18 months and has been very, very helpful in helping us understand why uranium is now taking off. Sean Wallace, client and, you know, in the business as well, who has done some excellent work on palladium and platinum that supports my intermarket analysis. Robert, who is an absolute diehard oil-only trader. That's all he trades. Who has his very specific indicators of risk on, risk off for that sector. And that has dovetailed beautifully with my analysis. Interestingly, like not out of any idea how he does his thing or how I do mine, just fascinating how they dovetail. So hopefully those are four commodities that you may or may not have thought about before, and why they look intriguing and how we have traded them. And with that, I invite you to think about, you know, something which is more active, which is joining me. I run a live trading room. I have live, real brokerage triggered trade alerts. I have some excellent clients with insight that they share, and I share with my clients. Definitely analysis like this, but more importantly, you get to kind of bounce ideas, and I'll go dig and find out. I like this board game. This to me is, I'm really fascinated with the market structure and why things move and how to trade it. I've got some institutional clients. I've got retail clients of, you know, humble means, and I support them all. And I like to make this transition from operationalizing really hard stuff into simple terms and when to enter, when to exit based on some, you know, just combination of intermarket and macro and fundamental and technical and quant and sentiment. So I hope that helps. Definitely end of year. This is a good feature. Christmas present. Give it to a friend. Live trading rooms. Also, Andrew teaches options in the afternoon. He runs his own book. He is an excellent trader and risk manager. Young guy. So he knows lots of the SPACs and such, and has been very successful this year. He also runs his own book in a prop trading firm. So literally, we're real traders. This is real trading. And I hope you will consider this as your participation benefit, and hopefully the trades as well as the membership in Leduc Trading. And follow me on Twitter at the very least and say hi. I hope this has helped.